The Old Testament reading for Maundy Thursday is from the second book of Moses, commonly called Exodus, the 24th chapter. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Mark 14, 12 through 26. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jug of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" And he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight is the night that we remember what Jesus instituted before he was betrayed into death and was killed under Pontius Pilate. So today we are going to talk about the New Testament, what the 27 books that we have written by the apostles are named for. They're not named for John 16, but they are named for this, the new covenant that is talked about, the Lord's Supper. So today we're going to talk about how Jesus' body and blood given to us Christians is the new covenant. First, we'll talk about how the new covenant was prophesied by Jeremiah. Next, we'll talk about how the new covenant is given to us today. And finally, we'll talk about how the new covenant endures and brings us into the kingdom of heaven. The new covenant was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. The new covenant was prophesied at least 600 years before Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the new covenant or New Testament in his blood. God, through Jeremiah, says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, the covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Here the weeping prophet gives us no Jeremiad, but a wonderful and happy promise. What is a covenant? A covenant is an alliance, a treaty, a marriage, an agreement, or a pledge. The word for covenant in Hebrew is berith, which means a cutting. Usually an animal was cut in two, and then the parties would move between them, and that would be how they signed or sealed their covenant. It is a way of telling both parties, if you don't hold up your end of the bargain, may you be split in twain like this poor animal. This covenant that Jeremiah prophesies is new. It's not like the old covenant. The old covenant was a conditional covenant. In Exodus 34, God says, "I will be your God. I will do miracles and marvels that no other nation has ever seen. I will drive out the detestable nations and peoples of Canaan and give you a land flowing with milk and with honey. If you observe what I command you, if you have no other gods, I, the Lord, will be your husband. I will bless you and multiply you. There will be no miscarriages. There will be abundant harvests. There will be no sickness. You shall utterly exterminate your enemies." But Israel did not keep this covenant. She ran after other gods. Even though the Lord was her husband and he lovingly led her, he took her by the very hand out of Egypt and he cared for her, she committed spiritual adultery on every high hill and under every green tree. And Judah was even worse. She saw how her sister, the northern kingdom, ran after Baal and was punished for it by the Assyrians. Yet, rather than repenting at the terrible destruction that the Assyrians brought, she did even worse. She's called Oholibamah by Ezekiel, which means, "My tabernacle is in her." Imagine that. The dwelling place of God is in her. And yet, this kingdom, this Oholibamah, this southern kingdom of Judah, broke God's alliance and broke the marriage that he had with her by running after the Assyrian gods and finally after the donkey-like Babylonians. Her spiritual lewdness and idolatry led to her destruction, and her remnant was deported to Babylon. But no, the covenant Jeremiah promises is not like the covenant of old. This is an unconditional covenant. God is the one who cuts this covenant. God is the one who promises to uphold this covenant, since we poor and miserable sinners cannot. He makes great and mighty promises to us. He promises to write his law on our hearts and on our minds. He plans to make us into new and better people by making us like his tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. And not only that, but God promises to be our true teacher, and that we shall be taught not by our neighbors or by our brothers or by our betters, but by God himself. And still, that's not enough for him to promise. God promises to be our God forever. We are his people. Nothing can make us into the prophet Hosea's child, who was named Lo Ami, not my people. No, we are now and forever Ami, God's people, my people. How is this new life of liberty and the law even possible? How can God teach us? The basis for this new life, for this new knowledge, is the forgiveness of sins. This is the greatest promise that God gives through Jeremiah. I will forgive their sins and remember their iniquities no more. No more. It's gone. It's done with. It is over. Our transgressions are forgiven. Our faults are forgotten. Our debts are paid. This is the new covenant, the New Testament, the forgiveness of sins. For where there is the forgiveness of sins, their life and salvation are. Jeremiah promised this new covenant, and the new covenant is then given to us today. Our text says, then Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. The new covenant is the forgiveness of sins. And there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. What was true of the old covenant that we just heard about, when Moses took blood in the basins and threw it on the people, is also true of the new covenant. Blood must be shed. But there is a great difference between these two. Since the days of Noah, men were forbidden to drink blood. Well, why? Because in the blood, there is the life. To drink blood was to find your life in something or in someone other than God. This is why the psalmist says about the unbelievers, their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. Drinking blood was idolatry. It was the worship of another god. It was faith or trust in something other than God. But now, the true God and the true man give us his divine blood to drink. It's as if he is telling us today, drink my blood, for in my blood there is life eternal. I am the resurrection and the life, and in me alone you shall find your life. My blood forgives your sins. My blood cancels your debts. My blood washes you clean. My blood is now your daily drink, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Your meal, your sustenance, the place where you should find your life, both in this life and in the life to come, is in my body and in my blood, which is far, far better than manna, the bread of the angels. And it is far, far better than the water which came from the rock, which was a picture of Jesus. These are all shadows and pictures, and you now have the substance, the real thing. You heard the prophecy, and in a little while you shall eat and drink the new covenant, the New Testament, for which the 27 books were named. But it's not over yet. We must talk about the new covenant in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This here is a prophecy of Christ's death. Wine gladdens the hearts of men, as the psalm says. But Jesus will have no more gladness. Christ will now travel the road of suffering and of pain and of sadness. Jesus' heart will no longer be gladdened by wine, but it shall be sick. It shall be sick unto death by sadness. Instead of wine, Christ shall be given gall for his food and vinegar for his drink. And instead of a banquet, Jesus has a funeral. But once again, that's not the end of the story. Jesus will again drink the wine of gladness in the kingdom of God. He shall be raised from death. Death shall have no dominion over him anymore. There shall be no more pain in paradise. There will be no more sorrow for the Savior. And his Holy Supper is a pledge. It's a guarantee that he wants us to drink the wine of gladness in heaven with him. His Holy Supper is a pledge that you and I are invited to an eternal banquet in the new heavens and in the new earth. In the old days, Isaiah prophesied, "And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever." The Lord's Supper is the new covenant. It was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. It is given to us today. The Lord's Supper is a guarantee, a pledge. It is a guarantee that since our sins are forgiven, fully and freely, and forgotten by God, that we will gladly and happily drink wine, the fruit of the vine, at the marriage feast of the Lamb. And so I will leave you with these wonderful words of John's Apocalypse. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sounds of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Amen."